Boom, there we go. There we go. Welcome, everybody, to Chaos Theory on this wonderful Thursday, man. On April 18th here, it is myself and my co-host, Double R. You can find me on Twitter at Not the Fake Wags. You can find Double R there on The Rodney R on Twitter, and then on Instagram at The _ Rodney R. I'm there at The Wagner Wire. And if you are mobile out and about and you're getting ready to go get your driver's license at the DMV or the MVA, whatever the hell you guys call it, make sure you're listening to us on that Coda text line. 512-222-9328 is the digits. And smash that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. I'm sure that you guys have. Share it with some friends. Make sure that you're throwing it out there on Facebook and whatnot, or MySpace and Space Face and all that jazz. You know, just keep sharing everything and keep liking our sponsors, because you're doing a great job. We're getting a great feedback from all of our sponsors, and it's because of you guys, man. You guys are definitely the reason for the season. We wouldn't be here without y'all. You guys know the drill. Hey, Mike C, you see my hair? I went and saw V. She made it better. She didn't. It doesn't look good. She just made it better. No, I'm kidding.
Man, that's an inside joke
with me, Mike, and Vanessa now. So, hey, guys, if you really are, if you're up in the Cedar Park area and you want somebody that's really excellent at cutting hair, man, she's the best in the business. Finding a barber is like finding a doctor, like finding a really good doctor. Once you find one, you don't want to get rid of one. And, of course, with the shadows that are in my hair, only one person can cut it, and that's Vanessa. So make sure you go see her. She's at Studio 620. I believe that's the place that it's at. But give me a shout. Give Mike a shout or whatnot. We'll direct you to traffic. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What's going on, man? Hey, what? How are you doing today? You wake up in a pretty good mood today?
I did. Woke up.
Yeah, I was a little bit frantic. Yeah. A little bit frantic.
Yeah. I know that you were. But that's why I was like, and when I told you don't worry or whatever I said, I meant about this. But like when you replied, I'm like, you've got to do your other job. So yeah, I totally got what you were saying. That's why I was like, okay,
no, but I mean, I also like I didn't want to do the show from the phone or whatnot. But anyways, to elude what we're talking about, pull back a little bit of the curtain. My internet went down. It must have happened around midnight or something last night. I mean, I remember it being spotty, but then I just remember it, you know, turning it off and not wanting to mess with it and fidget with it. But then I got programming back on with the streaming, so I'm just like, okay, so I guess it must have came back on or whatnot. Sure as hell. Woke up this morning, by the grace of God, woke up to check and make sure that the servers were good for my other job that I do. Came back on and saw that there was no internet. And I'm just like, Mother Fletcher. All right. So immediately make the call. And to Spectrum's credit, they had a technician out here by 8 o'clock.
Awesome.
I mean, like 7:30, they were out here fixing stuff. So I didn't think it was going to get done. My service line had been exposed exterior, like on the exterior. So there must've been like a rodent that gnawed at it and made the line weak or something like that. And then, also my setup in here, I had like 3 or 4 splits that didn't need to be in here. And it was just making, the connection and the relay delayed. So I was getting intermittent service. So, I mean, again, like credit to the dude. I'll give Josh a shout out, man. Josh was fantastic. Usually I shit on Spectrum. I usually do, man, because sometimes they're just not reliant. But damn, dude, they shot somebody out here, shot a tech out here within a couple hours and got everything up and running again so that we could do the show.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, it was. I guess it's been a couple of months ago. We had the hail thing, that happened here, and it like beat our house up, and we had to, have the roof replaced and all this different stuff. By the way, you guys, you might want to put your shit in the garage tonight, because I think we might get some hail.
We get hail tonight?
I think we might get some.
What's the weatherman saying?
I think we're going to get some hail probably sometime after 8 o'clock tonight. So just be careful. I mean, you know how that happens over here. But we
got a warm front coming in. It's going to really push some hail and precipitation up our way, Rodney. Maybe produce a little bit of quarter size hail, dime size hail. Well, we see. Make sure you're sending your pictures in to Texas Sports and Fillard Meteorologist Crew.
That's right. That's right. You're going to have the warm front that's coming down that's going to meet the cold air, and that's when all that's going to come together. See,
that's just going to give it a real nasty mix there.
Right? You know who we need? To get on here one day as a guest host, we need to get Victor Diaz on here.
I'm going to say Victor Diaz or Ricky Cody.
Yeah. Get those dudes on here, and of course Victor and I'll just sit and talk about indoor cycling. But so the roof got all messed up, and the crew comes out and they're doing everything. And oh, I'm sorry, I got another phone ringing over here.
That's okay. All right. Bat phone.
Yeah. So we get that done, and they just kind of put our satellite stuff back up there. And I was out of town, and my wife said, oh, they said they put everything right back where it was.
Sure.
Nothing worked. Nothing worked. And I called. I called ATT. They came out and fixed all that shit. And they did. They did the same thing for me. I mean, they came in and went ahead and rewired everything for me over the weekend. And so far, so good. It's worked well. So, see, there is good customer service still out there, Wags, despite the lack thereof.
Yeah, service with a smile, my ass, right? Service with a smile. Anyways, how is everybody doing on this wonderful Thursday? Hopefully you guys are having a great day. Hey, there was some good sports on our hump day last night. Did you watch it?
Wasn't there?
I did. Some good NHL. There was, I mean, also some emotional NHL. I don't know if, you know, how many people are, you know, diehard, you know, NHL fans or whatnot. But, I mean, the Coyotes, you played their last game in their franchise, or at least in Arizona or whatnot. They will be moving to Utah. And they sent their team off with a win over Edmonton last night, 5-2. But also in statistical news, there was a race for 70, or, you know, Austin Matthews, the prolific scorer for the Toronto Maple Leafs, was actually blanked last night in his search for 70, in his quest for 70 goals. 69 goals is what he ended up with. They took the loss. The Maple Leafs did against the Bolts, Tampa Bay. But Matthews, look, one hell of a season to get, you know, to pot 69 goals, man. That's pretty good. 70's tough, man.
That's a lot.
The record, I still think the record's 92. I swear to God, I don't think it's been broken. I'm sure we'd be here if it was shattered or not. But yeah, like 92 is what Gretzky put up. And I don't think anyone's ever gotten near it, right? And Gretzky, I think Gretzky got 70 goals for four seasons one time. Like he eclipsed 70 goals four seasons in his career. I think so. I'll have to go back and check. I know he's done it three times. But yeah, like this dude, to give you like a little bit of a preview of how good Matthews is, man. Like I'm sure you've seen all the highlights of him skating on the pond or whatnot. I'm sure you've seen him be able to take a puck and, you know, throw it up in the air, catch it, and then spin around three times and then throw it through the back of the net. He's fantastic. He's one of the best, man. Look, yeah, and to make, you know, to almost get 70, that's one hell of a feat. But yeah, it's pretty tough. I'm gonna look those stuff. Yeah, Gretzky. Yep, thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah, Kucherov. Kucherov's fantastic. And honestly, like that's the thing about that line too, right? Kucherov draws so much attention, and you know, the defenders are so, I guess, challenged with just how dominant and fast and physical that Kucherov is. It kind of leaves Matthews just able to skate through, I won't call it a wimpy defense, but it's a fatigued defense just because of having to deal with Kucherov, you know, all the time. But damn, yeah, man, it's one hell of a feat to get to 70. But just close. I mean, just shy, man.
I mean, yeah, you can't get much closer than that. I mean, I watched the play-ins.
I misspoke. Tampa Bay and Toronto played last night. Kucherov actually plays for Tampa Bay. But I was going back to the to the information or going back to the thoughts of when Stevie Stamkos and Kucherov used to blast the hell out of every damn opposition or every damn defenseman. But yeah, go ahead, Rodney. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I watched
a little bit distracted, gentlemen. A little bit distracted.
Then I started flipping around, and I'm like, okay, there's the Dallas Stars. So I Wags, I was going to text you last night, and I was going to send you a picture of myself in bed.
Oh, wow. Hey.
I decided maybe I won't do that. And
what were you wearing?
I was wearing holy drawers with a lot of holes in them.
Come on, man. Dude.
Watching the Dallas Stars.
I just actually upped the game and got brand new underwear. You don't know the feeling that you have until you get brand new underwear and socks.
You know, it's so funny because you have that like the stuff you sleep in. I mean, I don't know if you sleep naked or how you sleep, but I sleep in shorts, and it's like I've got a pair that, I mean, so many holes. The dogs have worn holes.
Wait, hold on. You wear the same pair of shorts to bed?
No. They're like my sleeping shorts.
I got you.
And
they're like pajamas.
Yes. I mean, they have holes everywhere. It's like there's a hole right here in my ass, and it's like
I'm not, you don't be so defeated about it. I'm not grilling you.
No. And it's like when the kids are around, my wife was like, "Can you put on your better sleeping shorts? You know, your sleeping attire." I'm like, "No."
Are you showing stuff?
Oh, I mean, things kind of fall out because it's got holes in the front. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm, you know, John Holmes walking around here.
No, I got you. You don't tuck it in your sock or anything. No, I got it.
There's big holes. And she's like, could you put your other sleeping? Because it's like every year for Christmas, Wags, I get a new pair of sleeping shorts for Christmas from somebody, you know, whether it be Tracy or one of the girls. I'm like, okay, that's great. But I still put my other ones on. And she's like, can you put something else on? I'm like, no, this is my house. This is my house. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. But
I don't know how
we got off on that. But
yeah, I don't either. I don't know how we got off on the underwear.
Oh, I know. Because I said that I was watching the Dallas Stars, watching them play the Blues last night. So, yeah, good. Hey, best record in the West right there. So, boom, here we go. I know
Why does the underwear in Dallas Stars get synonymous with you?
Oh, no, because I said that I was in bed watching.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I thought.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll wear those all the time when the Dallas Stars are playing.
I was hoping maybe you were referencing, you know, the Ice Girls or whatnot and their little skimpy outfits or whatnot. I don't know, Rodney. I don't know where the hell your brain goes half the time. I don't know where mine goes half the time.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this show, dude, is it's all over the freaking map. That's the beauty.
Because the draws have Lord Stanley on it, is what it Jake is. Says. The draws have Lord Stanley on it. Anyways, yeah, so Matthews comes up just shy. I kind of want to give McDavid the MVP, but it's just because I think McDavid's the best player in the league. I feel like Jake's kind of right. Like, I don't know what Tampa Bay would be without Kucherov. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like, Stevie, like, Stamkos isn't the dude anymore. It's not. It's been Kucherov's team probably for what? At least a couple of seasons now. Hell, I remember when Palat was having his sensational run, too. So, Palat was hot for a couple of seasons, but he was doing that at the aid of Kucherov and Stamkos. I mean, hell, Tampa Bay's just had a buzzsaw for years, man. And it just seems like they just keep replacing, you know, that front line or the top six. It feels like they keep replacing their top six. But yeah, I still want to give it to McDavid. Pastrnak, you'd like to think that, you know, Boston can still get done, you know, in doing what they're doing without Pastrnak. I don't know. There's a lot of good talent. There's fantastic scores in the NHL. That's for sure.
So who do you? I know we touched on it yesterday. So I want to talk about the East because Florida's, you know, they're rolling here at the moment. I mean, I know that runs are very different when it comes to hockey. You know, winning three or four in a row
it's. I mean, fatigue sets so much of it. of a
the
tone,
beating man. That you take. I mean, and with the Rangers, what they're doing in the Metro.
I like the I like the Rangers. I think the Rangers kind of,
just from what I've been studying.
I hate to say
I think
it,
I like the Rangers.
I absolutely despise being in. It's funny because I'm a New York Giants fan, right? But I can't stand the Rangers. I can't stand the Islanders. I can't stand the Rangers. I don't like the Devils. I don't like. I for some reason I don't know why I can't stand Philly. I don't know, man. I can't stand Boston. I respect Pittsburgh. I respect them, but I just can't. I don't know. And I know people don't like Washington, but I mean, who the hell are we? And by the way, like we're not going to be a threat. We just got in. I did not. I honestly, you know, you guys heard me for the past month. I thought it was going to be Philly making that last drive, and they kind of lost. You know, they lost steam, but I thought Torts would be able to get them into the playoffs. Up just short.
And for me, because like I was talking about yesterday, I mean, a lot of my friends, you know, in the NASCAR circle or whatever, and drivers and whatever, they're Carolina fans. You know, they're all about Carolina. You know, they go to Carolina games and do all these different things and so forth. So for me, I mean, if we got a Dallas-Carolina, you know, Stanley Cup final, I mean, I think that's something that I would be totally bought into because I'd have like my little thing with them. But from what I can tell, I mean, great point. I mean, the East kind of seems like the East in basketball. It's
kind of wide open. Like I still think the Atlantic has probably the best odds to have, you know, either Boston come out of it or Florida come out of it. Yeah. But I mean, I think New York's just the dominant team in the East for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've seen them. For the most part, because they're in the Met. I see New York a lot more. I got NHL center ice or whatnot, so I'm able to watch the, you know, every damn game. But anyway, like I usually pay attention to New York and most of the metropolitan teams just because that's where the Caps are at. Panera Bread, Panarin, he's fantastic. You know, one of the top goal scorers, you know, in the NHL. I'm not going out on a limb or you know, giving any hot takes here. I think that they can make a run. They've been one of the most dominant teams all year long. And hey,
they got the President's Cup, right?
They're the best
record in the league. Yeah.
Top record, the team with the best record at
best
the
record. Yeah. Yeah, well, so there you go. I mean,
if you've been paying attention to hockey, you know, the buzzsaws that have collected the President's Trophy over the past couple of seasons, they kind of bow out. You know, usually they don't make that run and go in that long sustaining drive. So we'll see. It's going to be it's Lord Stanley's tournament for a reason, man. I can't wait to see it. The East is kind of open, kind of like a shotgun. No. I know that there's pretty much two dominant teams from the West. That's our Dallas, or wow, I can't believe I just said that. That's the Dallas Stars. Maybe I am kind of adopting a little bit of a green and black here, man. I love the Texas Stars, so it's kind of natural to say our Dallas.
That's the cool part about it is that's kind of my buy-in, you know.
I'm not rooting for the Hershey Bears anymore. I mean, I'm rooting for them. I just don't go watch the Hershey Bears anymore.
And it's like, you know, because I'm an Astros fan, but you know, and I have a lot of discussions with the Astros versus the Rangers and all that. But now, you know, with the Express here, where you've got the prospects coming up for the Rangers. Texas Rangers, you know, it's like, okay, well, you kind of get to sit here and watch them. You know, back in the time when Roy Oswalt and all these guys played here, you know, before they became Astros and did all of that stuff, it's like, man, you really get bought in because that's your team and the farm system is right here in your backyard. But the Dallas Star thing and the Texas Star thing, I think for me, as a very outside and newer hockey fan, is something to where I can tie in because I can kind of follow what the Stars are doing and the guys that come through the Stars franchise and see them go to Dallas. So that's how you buy in right there. That's how you capture a new fan, and I think that's one reason. I mean,
tell Bobby Chaffee to get the hell out of here with his Vegas.
No, that dude.
Go watch that shit show. Go watch that spectacle on ice somewhere else. Not here.
That dude is all over Las Vegas. Yeah. It's like, that dude loves the Golden Knights. Not sure why.
It is a fun pre-show. It is a fun pre-show. But usually you don't have the success that many clubs like the Knights have had. You know, once you're an expansion team and you just come into the league and you've kind of been dominating, you've never been a doormat to the NHL
yet.
They
came in and made an immediate
impact. Right. You've had one hell of a goal. I mean, you know, Andre Fleury was basically sold away from the Pens, and, you know, he's kind of, you know, sustained and made his career a little bit longer, you know what I mean? Showing that longevity there. But, dude, I mean, and that's kind of like the recipe for success. If you got two really good goalies, usually you're going to have some decent success, man. Boston's got fantastic goalies, and so does New York.
Code of text line, our man Tom McKay. By the way, great job yesterday, Tom McKay, man. You were
I got to catch Tom too, man.
We may have a new host or co-host right there with what he was doing. President's Cup winner hasn't won the Stanley Cup since Chicago many, many years ago. New York Rangers are done as soon as they get done beating the Capitals. So that's our man, Tom McKay's. Hey, and that dude's got the crystal ball, dude.
No, he does. Like, hey, usually I do not go against Tom. He said that he actually said that the Caps would get in. I thought he was full of shit. And here we are. Caps got in. So Caps were done. They were done. They were out of it. And all of a sudden, that last sustaining breath of life, get them in.
Well, there they are, and they're in the East. So never say never, dude. Never say never.
Rob said, loved the audiovisual hockey hour.
That was really good. That really was good. That really was good.
You'll get a lot more of that because we got the Stanley Cup playoffs just right around the corner. We also have the NBA playoffs that have emerged, and or at least the playoff games. Big drama last night. You know, all my picks hit, which was a good thing. However, you don't like seeing injuries happen, especially to a dude like Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Butler, probably one of my favorite basketball players to watch, just because he's Michael Jordan's son. Not just because he's Michael Jordan's son, but also that's a joke. That's clearly a joke. I mean, you're supposed to laugh at that.
Well, sorry.
There you go. That's good. That's that politician in you right there. He's just one of the best. He's one of my favorites to watch just because of his tenacity, because of his engine, the fact that, you know, he's got a nasty chip on his shoulder. He's got that good pettiness that I like. Actually, it's kind of like a bad pettiness too, but it's a I just dig pettiness in competition, man. I think it's a great motivator. And you do whatever you can do to motivate yourself. I don't care if it's, you know, a coach coming in and dissing you, you know, in a public restaurant like Jordan used to make up or whatever, or just tell yourself stories to kind of piss yourself off to want to best the opposition. Jimmy Buckets is kind of that guy. I mean, you always see that old montage or that old snippet of him, you know, Tobias Harris over me. He wears it. He wears. Wow. He remembers everything. He remembers all the dismissals he's had throughout his career. And I resonate to that, or I let that resonate with me. It's just something that a lot of people have kind of overlooked me throughout my career, and you know, I usually come back and hit him in the mouth and knock him out. So,
well,
he's my kind of guy, Rodney, is what I'm saying. He's my kind of guy.
Well, and I'm totally with you because I am
He's out for at least 7 weeks.
Well, yeah, I saw it. He was out for weeks. I'm like, well, if he's out, the season's over.
Yeah, they're done.
But, dude, I'm with you. It's like, you know, adversity hits and different things happen. And it's like, I seriously take those things as a challenge. And that's not a bad thing. And I think a lot of that is, you know, for my time in sports and whatever. And it's like, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. Nothing like that. But, you know, I'm not a college certified, highly educated guy. I like to think that I have, you know.
Hey, just because you go to college don't mean you're a highly educated dude.
I like to think that I have a pretty good semblance of common sense. I like to think that I can excel at things. And that's where, Wags, I think you and I are so good together, because I know we're trying not to say this word so much. I fucking love to be challenged. It's like when I get a challenge, it's like, all right, here we go.
It's the ultimate motivator, dude.
And that's the whole thing. My wife is always like, when there's something that I take on, she's like, oh man. She's like, oh Lord, you're going to get consumed. And that's what happens. And that's the mindset there of James Buckets over here. But
yeah, 100%.
The count is out.
We're going to keep coming back. 100%. How the Marines, just funny tangent, you know, kind of off path here. You know how the Marines got me? I was 90% going into the Navy. I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. All that happy bullshit, all that happy horseplay. Like I was basically going into the Navy with intentions to be a Navy
SEAL. Did you use this?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
No, I did not.
Just double check.
I went on, you know, one last tour, you know, around, you know, to the departments or whatnot, to the service department or what are they held to call the thing, the headquarters there where the recruitment agency's at. And I was just like, all right, let me hear about what you guys got to say. Cause you know, most of my family were Marines or whatnot. So I wanted to go blow shit up. It was right after 9/11. I wanted to go do my duty. And you know, I said, hey, can you guarantee me, you know, a spot in the infantry? He goes, are you serious? That's the easiest job you can get. Usually people come in here and they ask to be like an aviation mechanic or whatever. You know, first off, you know, why do you want to be in the Marines? I was just like, well, you know, yada, 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 9/11 happened or whatnot. And then looks at me, he goes, man, yeah, I appreciate your spirit, but you can't make it. And I was like, what? Oh, motherfucker. Okay. Dude. Okay. Yeah. Let me see how many pull-ups you can get. I got seven pull-ups. You know what I mean? Which, you know, by the end of boot camp, you should be doing 20.
It's all good.
That's a perfect score.
I woke up this morning.
But he's like, all right.
It's a beautiful day.
I was a big dude, but for as big as I was, I could still do, you know, a lot of pull-ups or a decent amount of pull-ups or whatnot. And he's like, all right, man.
We're getting back to the 80s again today.
Basically, he was saying, you know, he honestly didn't think I was strong enough to be in the damn Marine Corps.
But still was a beautiful day.
I was just like, yeah.
Trying to figure out if this weather guesser.
Signing up, I'm going to be one of the best damn Marines ever to run the, you know, running the Corps or whatnot. But yeah, that's how you get me, man. You tell me I can't do it, and I'm going to prove you wrong.
Let me tell you, dude, similar story. You know, I talked a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you went in the Marines?
What's that?
You went in the Marines? You said similar story.
No, somewhat about motivation.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
It's like, I think you know me well enough to know that I'm far not enough disciplined to have done that. So when we were talking about having our decade back, remember when I said the age of 30, at age 35, my life kind of changed, did different things. Similar story. Here's what happened. So I decided, and I was a very, you know, out of shape, never a runner, never a sprinter, obviously none of that shit. I decided I was going to run a 5K. 5 kilometer, you know,
out of nowhere. Like, you don't just wake up out of bed and say, hey, I'm gonna run a 5K.
I felt horrible. Felt bad. I felt bad.
And what is, and 5K is over 3 miles, right?
3.1. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I lived in a smaller town that was having a 5K. And so they're doing this. And
What was your run? I'm curious.
For that one, that first one, it was right at 40 minutes. But here's how the story goes. So there was a person that was very influential to me at the time, maybe a significant other, whatever you want to call it. And so I say, I'm going to run this 5K. The response was, your fat ass is going to die. I said, watch this. Got that done. Shredded all this weight. Ran. That 40-minute 5K eventually became, when I would run 5Ks, 26 minutes. I would win my age group. 34 5Ks later, 6 half marathons later, 3 full marathons later, I made a phone call and said, don't fucking challenge me.
Yeah.
Don't challenge me.
Well, congratulations, man. That's one hell of a feat. Could have been a Marine, man. That's we do 3 mile runs. That's why I was that's kind of how I knew, you know, 5K is, you know, usually around 3, you know, usually around 3 miles.
Maybe we have to start doing it again. Weren't we just talking?
No, I'm good. I'm all right. I'll swim. I'll be all right. That's one of the best things that I've learned from the Marines was how to swim with, you know, hands being bound behind your back or whatnot. Swimming's definitely a lot better than running, especially on my body these days.
No doubt.
You know, speaking of having bad knees, Jimmy Butler's knees is tore down. So he's going to be out for about 7 weeks, 7 to 8 weeks. No more playoffs for him, which probably means Tyler Hero and the Miami Heat exit stage right here. Hero was awful done last night. At one point, I think he was, 2 for 10 or 2 for 13. And he just could, really struggled from beyond the arc. Look, when he's out, when he's not being able to hit and Jimmy Butler's not being able to hit and Bam can't do anything against Joel Embiid, it's going to be tough, dude. It's going to be absolutely tough. And also, I kind of flirted with it yesterday, Rodney, when Embiid is back, he appears to be healthy.
He seems fine to me.
That team is not a seven. It's a disguised seven. It's probably, in all honesty, it's probably a two. I got him better than Cleveland. I got him better than anybody else. The better than New York. I honestly believe that they're better than New York. I love what Thibodeau is doing and having, his defensive hustle, being out there for the Knicks or whatnot. But hell, man, how much can Jalen Brunson put on his shoulders? Because honestly, this whole run with the Knicks has been on Jalen Brunson. Randall's been able to make some pieces, and they got some workhorses too that are excellent on defense. That just fit the damn, the damn mantra, the damn template and piece of Thibodeau's type of work, mindset. So again, the Knicks are a good team, but I got Philadelphia ahead of the Knicks.
I'm with you, man, because, like we talked about, I think that's kind of the sleeper team right there. And when Embiid came back, I mean, you knew, like you just said, that they're going to be a factor. And what they did last night, I mean, that was a double-digit halftime deficit, and they managed to come back from that. And I think that's the thing with them coming in, because like you said, they're in the position that they're in because they didn't have Joel Embiid for a good part of the season. But now that he's back and he does seem to be clicking just as well as can be expected at this point, that really is the one for me out of the East that can come up and sneak up on people. And I think more people are really starting to understand that you really can't call him a sleeper.
They're a seven without Embiid. They're absolutely not. They are a sleeper with Embiid. As a seven, you're thinking, okay, well, how in the hell is this team so damn awful or whatnot?
Yep.
They had to lose for 2 weeks or for the duration that Embiid was out, at the latter portion of the regular season. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you, Rodney. I don't know how you call him a sleeper. They're disguised seven is what
That is a great – I love how you describe that because it really is a disguise. When you want to talk about a mask or something, because them sitting in that seven spot, I mean, taking on New York, and then whoever here comes out of when do they play tomorrow, I guess, to take on Boston – it's like, all right. But yeah, without Jimmy Buckets, I mean, it's going to be a huge, huge undertaking for Miami. I think at this point, you just, your season's done. So let's get on to the playoffs. And man, we're almost there. We almost have them all seated, dude. It's almost time to rock and roll here and have some NBA playoffs.
I don't know if you saw any of the Bulls game last night. I thought the Bulls game was going to be a little bit closer than that.
Dude,
very young. If anybody was asking questions about if the Dallas Mavericks made the right move with trading Luka Doncic for Trae Young, those questions had to be solidified last night.
Yeah.
If they weren't solidified already, you want to talk about awful play. I sat here and said that Tyler Hero was absolutely awful last night. Trae Young was awful. Trae Young turned the ball over more times than I've seen in a while. I don't even have a hyperbolic statement. It was a lot for an NBA point guard. It seemed like he was pressing way too much, trying to do something that just wasn't there, trying to make something happen that just obviously wasn't there. And then White last night, holy hell, I didn't even know that this dude could score like that. I feel like half the league didn't know that this dude could score like that anyways. But
yeah.
Especially, you know, DeRozan looking, you know, some of the playing some of the best
basketball.
Yeah. I mean, hell, he was hot, you know, last season.
He's been pretty
damn hot the past couple of seasons, man.
It's been pretty solid, man. When he was in San Antonio, he was showing,
I guess drinking from the fountain of youth and keeping the life, you know, all throughout the quarter, whatnot. But hell, DeMar DeRozan, man, he's found a way to reinvigorate his career in Chicago, or keep his, you know, career still going in Chicago, man. He's got some decent talent around him. Zach LaVine being out isn't really, you know, going to help Chicago, but I mean, hell, he's been out for a while now. But anyways, man, Chicago, like we said, man, I thought Chicago would get past the Hawks last night. They did so in emphatic fashion. The game shows doubled to almost 15 points, but it felt like it was, you know, almost almost, you know, 20 to 25 points. That's kind of what it felt like with the margin of victory was. I didn't think Atlanta had a chance, and they just played absolutely awful last night.
Oh, man, it was horrible. I mean, that looked like Texas baseball the other night. I mean, what we saw right there, and I really did think. I mean, I thought that was – what was the spread on that? Wasn't it like 3.5, 4.5, or what was that?
I didn't see it. CB, I don't know if I can say DeMar was – I think DeMar was trying – like
he didn't have a lot of help.
All Antonio had was DeMar at the time, right?
He was it. Yeah, he was all the San Antonio.
Kawhi refused to play, so I thought DeMar did the best that he could in a really tough situation in San Antonio.
And then, of course,
DeMar kind of made the best of that situation too. He was kind of pushed out of Toronto, for Kawhi. So it's like, damn, dude, you don't have anybody to help with or to work with, because the best player that was on that damn franchise, or the only player that was on that franchise, had just bailed out and left you because of the damn trade. So,
and Jake's got it right here. I mean, because when DeMar DeRozan was in San Antonio, I mean, you had LaMarcus Aldridge was who you had right there.
Aldridge couldn't stay on the court.
Dude couldn't even move. Yeah, the dude was always hurt. So, I mean, that was supposed to be what was going to be the catalyst right there was him at that point. And then you bring in DeMar DeRozan, and there you go. And, of course,
Who was the guard, though? It was a rookie guy from Miami. I can't think of the guy's name, though.
For San Antonio.
Rookie guard.
That dude wore number one, if I'm not mistaken. I think he came through here, through Cedar Park or Austin Spurs. No, maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong guy, man. Right there.
He's from the University of Miami. I can't think of the damn name. One of you damn Spurs fans will think of it. The pieces couldn't come together, couldn't form for DeMar DeRozan. I didn't think that he was that bad or that awful with San Antonio, but it looked like clearly he wasn't happy, but I thought, you know, he made the best of the situation. Be that as it may, you know, they're still, you know, Chicago with DeRozan right now, they were fantastic. They looked great last night. I don't think this run's going to continue, man, or they'll – they'll beat the Hawks and continue to get in, but that's done. It's over.
Yeah, and it really is. CB's got it right here. I mean, when Richard Jefferson,
they'll continue to beat Miami.
Yeah, Richard Jefferson era in San Antonio.
Lonnie Walker.
God,
100%.
Lonnie Walker. But yeah, that really was. And I mean, you go back and you look at it. I mean, I think this thing was all kind of structured for San Antonio to where it was very obvious what the pivot was. It was going downward. So I think that worked out great for everyone because San Antonio is obviously in a place, you know, with Wimby and they're going to have another high draft pick. I mean, what do they do with that? And DeMar is extending his career and being a factor. So. I don't know where
San Antonio is going to go. Like, I want to think that they need some help in the backcourt, but
yeah.
I mean, can you imagine getting Klingon?
Those two big dudes? Yeah. Yeah. Those two. But the thing is with Wimby,
you'd have a rim protector and you'd have a dude that could be fluid and get out there and hit mid-range jumpers and be another, you know, decent dude on the block. I mean, of course, you know, I'm not great at building, you know, basketball personnel or whatever, but hell, that's something I'd flirt with.
And I think that's what's so cool with Wimby is that, he's so versatile. I mean, yeah, he's a big old dude, but, I mean, he can go knock down. I mean, that's a nice problem to have right there, where if you're popping that group, you're trying to sit and figure out what you're going to do right there. Yeah, go get a big dude. Hell, Wimby doesn't have to be your big guy.
If you're Dallas, you're going big. If you're Dallas, you're going with a four.
Oh, Dallas got to go big.
Dallas ain't. Oh, hey, Dallas ain't getting in the lottery.
No. No worry about that.
We also got Sacramento and New Orleans being able to that are also going to be played tonight. So that's your NBA play-in game. So we almost got them. Yeah, but see, Wing, that's just it, Jake. Wings are hard to find, and Dillingham is Dillingham the best? Hell, I don't even know if he's the best wing in this damn draft.
Looking at this NBA draft, there's really not. I mean, we can talk about some of the big guys. There's not really anybody that jumps out at me to where it's like, okay, this guy can go wherever and it's going to be a franchise changer. I mean, obviously Victor Wembanyama is one thing, but
I don't know if there's a stud. I don't know if there's a franchise player in this.
I don't think there is.
The draft class is a little bit weak almost.
That's my thought. I mean, that's really my thought. There's a good supplement of a lot of good players, but there's not anything there to me where I'm like, shit, that's the guy,
Jake,
I want.
Here's the thing, Jake, like, I've seen Lively banged around a little bit too much. I've seen him hurt, a few times this season, right? Like, maybe one more piece to have a third piece in the rotation to help out that front court. That would be fantastic. Or at least that's what I think, the Mavericks should do. I agree with you. A wing player is definitely something that you all need. I just don't know if it's going to be able to be found in this draft.
I don't think you find that in this draft. I don't see that in this draft. I mean, like we're talking about maybe a big. I mean, maybe you get a big that's going to make an impact right there. But I mean,
with as low maintenance as this draft class is, I don't think anything that falls to you when it gets to you is not going to be something that. Maybe they're in the G League for a couple of years for developmental.
Yep.
But I mean, unless you really find a diamond in the rough, my guy.
Yep. Well, I think the best player in the draft already got picked, Caitlin Clark.
Gotcha. Hey, man, regardless if you're watching, hockey, if you're watching, baseball, or if you're watching NBA or hell, the football news, we got draft right around the corner next week. Playoffs, hockey playoffs start this Saturday. You got to get it in. You got to do it with audiovisual consultations. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. For the past 35 years, they've been setting the standard in audiovisual automation in the Austin, Central Texas area. If you don't have an idea of what you want in your home, go to their website and look at the gallery of projects that they have over the past 35 years. I guarantee you will get an idea. If it's from two TVs or four TVs or hell, even a dream theater system, maybe you want a simulator, give them a call, man. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff right there. And of course, we got to talk about our friends over at Covert Bee Cave, covertbeecave.com. That beautiful dealership out there, 3 state-of-the-art dealerships, 7 different OEMs, 7 different brands that are nestled right there. 42 acres of beautiful Central Texas Hill Country. Go check our friends out over there. There's something for everyone. New pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Our friends at Covert Bee Cave, they're going to hook you up and have you ready to go. They also service all makes and models of your family vehicle, your family truckster. 86 service bays that they have across that amazing facility right there. Look, it's worth the drive. If you're just maybe thinking about buying something new or pre-owned, go out there, because obviously you're going to have a hell of a selection, but go out there just for the drive, because it's just a beautiful spot to go. CovertBeeCave.com. You can check them out weekly specials, guys. I know a lot of dealers have, those holiday specials. You have that Flag Day special. You have the MLK Day special. You have whatever day, Cinco de Mayo special. Not at Covert Bee Cave. They have them weekly. Check out Dan and all the great folks out there. It is covertbeecave.com. And remember, the Covert family since 1909, serving generations of Central Texans. Nobody beats Covert deal, not now, and sure as hell not ever. Covertbeecave.com.
No, they don't. Hey, Longhorn Bear, LB, what's going on here? So are people chanting this lady's name way too much, Caitlin Clark? Are people sick? Because I know we don't talk much women's sports on
That's
here.
Only on Wednesday. That's only on Wednesday. That's athlete of the week, Wednesday.
What's going on?
I got to tell you, man, there's a lot of women's sports is definitely getting a lot of, I mean, as it should. I mean, I just hate that it's, I mean, everything's got to be, well, women's sports and men's sports. Like, let's just call it sports. Everybody can pick what they want. But yeah, Caitlin Clark is definitely getting a lot of run. And it's one thing to see Caitlin Clark on ESPN.
Shows up in what she was wearing Prada at the
Prada
after what
$17,000 that outfit. Her outfit was
I wouldn't be able to walk. Holy hell.
No.
Oh my God. $17,000? That's what's on you?
$17,000. Wags, my whole attire, my whole closet ain't worth that. Half that shit I got for free. It has no value.
It's like
all these t-shirts. You know, I go out in public and my wife is like, can you wear something that doesn't say racing or football or whatever? But yeah, she was, they all were styling. I mean, those ladies were definitely gussied up, as they like to say down south. But yeah, Caitlin Clark is getting a lot.
That attire value was just because of, okay. I thought you were saying, Rob, I thought you were alluding to because it was her name. I was like, wow. I was like, what? She's not on that level yet, man.
Well, I'm glad to see this.
Eight figures.
And that's good because I saw her salary for the WNBA and I think it's like $74,000. So I'm glad somebody's paying her.
Well, that's probably why Nike made up for it. And again, like we're not seeing this is what she's doing, man. This is really an unprecedented time in sports. You see, however you feel about Shohei Ohtani in baseball or whatnot, if he should still be able to be in baseball, if you feel like he's, you know, pulling, you know, the wool over people's eyes where he, you know, had a fall boy or had, you know, a fall guy there to take the fall for him. I mean, look, it don't get dumber or weirder than the story we just heard with Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. I mean, you're either really naive or you just have your baseball is just allowing this to happen so that they can have.
Dude's got a great poker face, though, right? He just sits there like that.
He looks at you like you're an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, why are you asking me these questions? Of course I wouldn't do it. He looks at you like you're the idiot, right? Anyways, yeah. But of course, baseball, you know, having the best player in the world that we've ever seen, right? Just, or at least in my lifetime. They're going to try and find a way to make this, you know, swept under the rug. You're seeing this in sports. You're seeing him getting as much money as he's getting. You're seeing Caitlin Clark, you know, a female athlete getting the, you know, amount of money or the per, you know, eight figures from just endorsements in Nike. You know what I mean? Like this is, and you're also, that's not what I'm talking about here with the money deal. You know, you're seeing an athlete being able to pull up from the logo and hit, consistently and their name not being Steph Curry.
Exactly.
Or Dame Lillard. You know what I mean? And not to mention, it's on the other gender sport. It's in the WNBA now. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. It's really good to see. You're seeing Austin Matthews getting close to 70 goals. It's like sports. It's really good. You're seeing Gunnar Henderson hit three home, you know, hit three games in a row with home runs. You're seeing the Orioles smash. I mean, my God, it feels like the Orioles are hitting three home runs almost every game. There's a lot of good sports to be seen right now, guys.
Stories are a great times. Stories are a great thing. I figured out here that a lot of the sports landscape right now, a lot of what we do, people want to hear stories. People want to hear stories. They want to get to know, and I've seen this on the racing side with the Formula One documentary and with what NASCAR is trying to do. These people want to get to know these people. And the more that you can put them in front of people, and the Caitlin Clark thing, I mean, look, she is. I mean, it's not going to be obviously to the magnitude of the Tiger effect like it's mentioned right there, but
I think it's getting that type of steam.
It's getting pretty close. I mean, it's going to make the WNBA. I mean, people are going to tune in May. that wouldn't have tuned in May to watch a WNBA.
Ronnie, you watched the WNBA draft, did you not?
I did.
When
I did.
Was the last time most you watched? It. When was the last time? When have you ever watched the WNBA draft?
Never.
Me neither.
Never.
Me neither.
Intrigued, encapsulated. And the whole thing was, I even tweeted out while it's going on. I'm like, so why are they waiting so long to make the first pick? By the way, speaking of that, when we do like the WNBA draft and all these different drafts, can we leave that jingle that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do? Can we leave that for the NFL? That's the NFL draft jingle when somebody's about to pick. That little...
By the way, Rodney, I think you're on to something. I think we can.
Get your own. Leave that for... That's the NFL.
I think it's honestly... I don't know if it's the NFL. I think it might be the damn... programming. I think it's is. Yeah, I think it's the actual programming of it for the show.
Leave that for the NFL.
Ronnie's like, you're more chauvinistic than I am, my guy.
Apparently so.
Jesus.
Hey, speaking of Ohtani and stuff, how about old Jonte Porter?
Yeah, done. See, can't play anymore.
He gone. Dude.
Don't gamble. You know what? Look, you can't gamble in your sport.
They didn't mess around long with that one, did they?
Yeah, man. They weren't in a league where usually you talk about stuff getting swept under the rug. In a league where you usually see stuff getting swept under the rug, basketball's got enough problems right now as it is. Like there's a lot of people, you know, arguing and saying that there's no defense in the league, which, you know, that's kind of easy to see. That's kind of easy to go along with, right? There's load management, you know, issues and dilemmas in the league now. You know, people showing up to see the, you know, their favorite players, and then their favorite players just say, I'm not playing this year or this game. So the NBA is struggling. I think I don't ever want to go out and sit there and say that, you know, people are paid way too much, but you know, there is a lot of money with all these new TV contracts and whatnot in the NBA. There is a lot of money. When Timothy Mozgov is getting, you know, deals of like what, 18 million? He got an ass load of money like 5-6 years ago or whatever. Timothy Mozgov, do you know who that is?
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He had one run, a little bit of a run in Cleveland with LeBron, and then the Lakers decided to give him a bag. That's when, you know, the TV money started to hit. And honestly, I think that's kind of when the league started having these types of issues to call them performance issues. If you want to call it that, whatever, but it's just trying, you know, effort issues, man.
And Wags, we've mentioned it several times on this program, is to where if this is going to be an issue with betting or whatever, this is the easiest sport to where if you're a player, where are you going to do it? I mean, because like with football and baseball and all that, I mean, it's hard to it's not impossible, but it's really hard to manipulate that stuff. And I don't get the mile bridges. Yeah,
we don't care about shame anymore. Are you serious? No. We live in a society where shame has gone out of the window for hype. We now give shame away and trade shame away for likes.
Yes. You
know, we'll do anything. Yeah. We'll do anything just to get a like on Twitter.
Well, and it's like earlier this morning, Wags, I heard the guys talking about Sweat, you know, from Texas, kind of falling in the draft. And the DWI was mentioned, and I'm not casting shade at that. That he can overcome. That he'll be forgiven and overcome. But, I mean, the weight and all of that, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, if people want to focus in and be like, well, is that DWI he got in Austin?
No, it's not the DWI. That's an incident. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, everybody.
I made that mistake twice.
And Twitch, yes. I love that the WNBA and women's college basketball is getting I just want to watch a good basketball game.
Right.
Who's doing it?
I don't care. No, I'm with you.
Playing it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
What's up, Ike? How we doing, brother? Hopefully everybody's all right. Hey, you want to tell me about Autograph real quick?
Yeah, man, let's talk about Autograph. Hey, if you want to get rewarded for listening and watching Texas Sports Unfiltered, super easy to do. The Autograph app, co-founded by, I'll just call him, that way I'm not speculating, the congressman future congressman. I guess I'm speculating on that as well. Tom Brady is redefining the fan experience. It allows users to earn rewards for acts of fandom, like listening to TSU and the sort of things. The Autograph app, Autograph, also the band, easy way to remember that, gives you access to your favorite Longhorn content in one place, and also gives you the opportunity for exclusive merchandise, including tickets. You're already listening to TSU, so you might as well get rewarded for it. Sometimes when we're just on a tangent like we are today, you need to get rewarded for listening and watching Texas Sports Unfiltered. Head over to your app store and search Autograph. Download it. There's also a link right here in the YouTube description where you can download that and start getting rewarded. It is the Autograph app. Download it today.
Hey, we weren't on tangents. We covered a lot of sports, man. We covered what? NHL. We covered the only thing we didn't talk about was baseball. I kind of flirted a little bit with it. I kind of talked about the run that Gunnar Henderson's been on here recently.
Astros again last night.
Hearn's mashing too. Like it just feels like everybody on the damn Oriole. The lumber has been awoken. Or is that even a word?
Sure.
The lumber has, I don't even know anymore.
I'll tell you what.
The lumber is awake in Baltimore.
Speaking of lumber, the Yankees did it again. This time they come from behind. I don't know what the hell's going on over there. I mean, but dude, I actually read something on I think it was ESPN.com.
Speaking of lumber, you got wood?
yeah, speaking of lumber. Don't mind that knocking noise.
Think of a number.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of this has been, I read something, matter of fact, this morning, I think on ESPN Plus, where it was saying that they're really, they kind of have that feel in the locker room like the Astros had, when the Astros were on their run, not that it's over, but, when you had Altuve and you had Springer and you had those guys to where that they feel like a family. And Yeah.
I don't give a shit about the Yankees feeling like a family.
Well, no, I'm just saying it seems like that if that is the case, because shit, dude, I'm worried, man. I'm worried. They're good.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic, Rodney. They're absolutely fantastic. Hey, let me get out of here. Before we get out of here, let me tell you about pickleball. You guys saw the video of me and my big ass falling down on the quarter. Let me talk to you about pickleball because I forgot to tell you about my friends at Pick Sports Gear.
Want me to play the video while you're talking?
What's that?
You want to play the video while you're talking?
No, I do not.
Okay.
But if you're ready to gear up with all that design gear that's right here in Austin, look no further than Pick Sports Gear. Their equipment is crafted with precision and passion right here in the heart of our city, known for the love and sports and innovation. From the top-of-the-line paddles and premium accessories, they have everything you need to dominate the court in style. Plus, keep an eye out for your demo days. We had one that just got postponed that was on the 20th, but we'll be getting another one up and running here in just a couple of days. So it's your chance to get all the latest gear firsthand and try it out and score some exclusive deals. Check out the website for locations and details. Gear up now with Pick Sports Gear today and get ready because their clothing line drops this summer. They already got the hats and some of the shirts out right now. Make sure you go to their website and check it out. Show off your Austin-made excellence on the pickleball court. Now go play some picks. Learn more at picksportsgear.com. That's PIXSportsGear.com.
Absolutely. Hey, Longhorn Bear, I think kind of the Tiger effect was mentioned for what it will do for the sport. No, it's not going to be Tiger Woods. I mean, it's not going to be that.
But it's more than just Caitlin, is it not?
What?
I feel like it's more than just Caitlin Clark. I feel like this entire class, like this crop of female athletes that are coming from the collegiate level into the WNBA, I feel like it's a new generation of talent, man. It's not just... Sure, Caitlin Clark's the front runner of it, right? But yeah, I mean, yeah. Hell, dude, it is one talented draft class.
Yeah, and what it is, it takes that one person that's going to like transform. And I mean, what I like, here's what I like.
We were talking a lot about women's sports, are we not?
Exactly, and that's the point. I mean, because and what I like about Caitlin Clark, I know there's been some times where she's kind of been pouting or whatever the whole thing is, but I mean a lot of the run on her is for her game, like you're talking about. I mean, what she does stuff that dudes can't do, and that's That's the good part. It'd be one thing if it was more about Caitlin Clark just because of how she looked or whatever the case was. But it's like she's, I mean, like her, like Cameron Brink.
LB, I think right now that game translates more into the WNBA, right? Because the WNBA hasn't seen a scorer like Caitlin
right.
Clark.
Right. That's the difference. That's
I think in like what you know Sabrina Ionescu she's great too, but she, you know, look at the change that she had or you know Diana when she was in there, right?
See, like, that would be the comp for me was Diana Taurasi. I think it's the comp for me.
But as great as Diana was, like, dude, I've never seen anybody like Caitlin Clark.
No.
Nobody has.
No.
Nobody has. Like, you're talking about the Steph Curry of the WNBA, man. Truly yeah. is. And you know what? We've got to stop calling it. You're talking about Caitlin Clark. You're talking about, you know, a hooper that can hit from the logo.
That's it.
I'm gonna stop putting, saying that she's, you know, the female Steph Curry. It's right. kind of like the comp that she has, and that's one hell of a comp. But, I mean, she is Caitlin Clark, man. She's
that's fantastic. The whole thing. I mean, you can find a comp right there, but it is. I mean, she is Caitlin Clark. I mean, there is no – I mean, how – I mean, I think Diana
Taurasi – Come on, Jake. Come on, man. Rodney actually did – so, look, Rodney sent me a picture of Cameron Brink, but it was a front side. We didn't really get to see the athlete of Brink. All right, but it's there.
We'll find it.
That dress,
dude, that was all leg. It's like,
oh yeah, dude, almost like. I mean, no, she don't look like Stacey Keibler. Stacey Keibler is probably one of the hottest girls I've ever seen in my life, besides my wife. Right, but man, something to say about them Baltimore girls, man. Something to say about them Baltimore girls. Keibler, so you know Stacey Keibler's from Baltimore.
Right? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
what was her name when she was the librarian on WCW? She was Miss, I can't remember what.
I don't know.
Oh man. Oh my God.
I just know her as Stacey Keibler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taurasi is pretty bitter about Caitlin Clark coverage too, is she? Yes.
So Taurasi said that when Caitlin Clark gets to the WNBA, she ain't playing against kids. I mean, and I'm just kind of putting this in regular terms. She ain't playing against kids. It's a whole different game. I'm sorry.
I did hear that. I heard that comment, but I didn't think that I didn't take it too far. I actually kind of agreed with that comment because, you know, the competition does get clearly insanely better up at the WNBA, but still, man.
I mean, does it?
The WNBA hasn't seen this type of talent either.
No. And I think that, you know, you had Lisa Leslie. I mean, the list goes on and on of all of these great WNBA players. You know, you and I sitting over here just rattling all these names off. Diana Taurasi, Lisa Leslie. It won't be long.
We're true WNBA historians.
You and I are going to have a nationally syndicated WNBA show before too long.
Get the hell out of here. What are you talking about?
But the fact is, I mean, I don't see that she's going to have – I mean, yeah, it's going to take a little bit to adapt – to the WNBA game, but I don't see that she's going to have, you know, a big issue doing that. I mean, she's a
I'll bet you $100 that she leads the league in scoring.
I agree. Yeah, so super.
You're not going to take that bet then.
I said
I would bet you $100 that she'd lead the league in scoring.
Oh, she's going to lead the league in scoring. All right. She's going. Yeah, Sue Bird's another one. Yeah, you know, I don't know her thought on that, but I mean, shit, I don't know. I'm excited about Texas women's basketball. We're going to win the national championship next year with
get them, Vic. Absolutely, get them, Vic. 100%. All right, we got a couple of minutes before the guys go. I guess the guys are getting ready to get in here. They're bitter. Clark eliminated UConn. Oh well, that was
well.
Of course, they're going to be a little bit sour about that. But I mean, hell, especially when it's, you know, Sue Bird and Taurasi. So anyway, wait, where'd Plum play?
Where'd Casey Plum play? I don't know.
Was she on the West Coast? I can't remember where the hell Plum played.
I don't know. She might have been.
I think Stacey Keibler was known as Miss Testmacher. You're right, Miss Testmacher.
Right? Is that what it was?
No, I think that was from Superman. Was it not?
Oh, I don't know. No, her name was. God dang it! I had to look it up. She had a different name.
Stevie says, check my DMs. Hold on one second.
Oh, Lord. Yes, Mrs. Washington. Is that right?
Stevie, that's a good one.
Is that Stacy Keibler?
That's video too, my guy. That could be a candidate. That could be a nice little candidate for Athlete of the Week next week. With CB just sending my DMs, I'll send it to you. That's what I'm talking about, guys. Be like CB. Send me some stuff in the DMs, dude. I love getting those messages from time to time.
Hey, so what'd you think of the report that came out? Here we are. I'm just ready to get the draft done because I'm like, look, I'm tired of reading mock drafts. I saw this other thing.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. I wanted to save this for tomorrow, but go ahead.
Oh, no. That's all right. We can save it.
That's all right.
We can save it.
No. We'll talk about it. We got time. I mean, we're waiting on the guys still.
What about AD Mitchell?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Diabetic. Hadn't heard that. Tends to be a little hard to coach. What do you think about all that? I had never heard.
I've heard nothing but good things about AD Mitchell from the 40. So this is the first thing that's coming out. I think this is kind of smoking wagons. The maybe have a certain team have their coveted player fall to them. Maybe a little. Look, we talked about this too, right? You're going to see a whole bunch of smoke shows and smoke screens or whatever the week of the draft. And it's usually done by some PR members or whatnot, right. or you know, staff members of the NFL teams or whatnot, so that they can get their guy. It's a business. It's a war. They call it the war room for a reason, man. They're trying anything that they can do, whatever they can to try and get their guy. And when have you ever heard of AD Mitchell having any type of problems in the locker room with his coach or being uncoachable?
There have been none. There have been absolutely
none.
And that's the whole thing.
When
I saw that come out, I'm like, I mean, we would have heard that by now. I mean, between Horns 247, we would know that. We would know that. Let's ask this dude. Let's ask this guy, Jordan.
Hey, what's up, Jordan?
Have you heard of any of that bullshit before yesterday?
Look, okay, so the Twitter account that tweeted it is just an aggregation account. Like, for what I know, it's some teenage kid running it, right? So from the tweet, haven't heard any of that stuff. But I do know there is off-the-field stuff NFL teams are concerned about that hasn't been reported. I know that for a fact. I've gotten that from NFL agents, from people who work for NFL teams. Like, I know that for a fact. He's going to fall further than where he's projected right now. Do I know how far he will fall? I'm not sure. Well,
what are the off-the-field incidents, Jordan? Because we haven't heard anything.
Well, it hasn't been reported. I'm not going to be the one to report it.
Right.
I can tell you when we get off the show.
I appreciate that. I'm sorry for putting you on the spot. But it's just, it all comes to a surprise because, you know, from what I remember, you know, this dude has always, you know, had a pretty damn
all class
or a very quiet off the field type
As far as the tweet goes,
I mean, we didn't hear anything about it, but usually worthy that we're hearing about.
No. So as far as the tweet goes, man, I haven't heard anything about that, about him being a bad teammate. It's just some old stuff that I guess might have some loose ends or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. He's still going to go early. I definitely wouldn't expect him to go first round at all right now. So definitely think X will be the first Texas receiver taken.
I would take him on the Giants in the second round. That's when he falls to the Giants in the second round. The Giants got back-to-back picks, man.
Well, and Wags, that's another dude where he may go to a place like we talk about where it's not like a dire need. It's like a shit show or anything. He may go someplace where he can have an immediate impact.
If he goes to New York, it's a shit show.
Well, yeah, I know
I'm telling you right now. New York Giants, that's a shit show.
Right. Yeah, I'm talking about somewhere else. All
right. I will tell you,
though. Jeff, how are we doing today, bud?
I'm good. What are we talking about? I see CB's fired up about something.
AD Mitchell.
Talking about AD Mitchell.
Man, my only opinion on that is, I forget the guy's name that actually wrote it. It wasn't the ML football, whatever account. I forget the guy's name. Long time reporter for the Milwaukee paper, covered the NFL for a long time. I get that you got jobs. Like, I got a job to do. Jordan can understand that sometimes we hear information that we don't want to report. Sometimes we can it. Sometimes you need to report it. Right. I just don't know what good that does. Look, if A.D. Mitchell, if his type 1 diabetes is an issue, the 32 teams in the league know about it.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was in the medical. Right.
So other than just for, to me, this is just me. There's no reason to put that out there unless you're just looking for, you're asking for somebody to read it, you know?
Or it hits, or clickbait, shit like that.
I feel like you can, I feel, and again, I'm not saying I'm right. You can put it out there. You can do your job and paint the picture you want to paint without being a dick.
Yeah, that's it. That's the underlying thing right there.
Period. That's just period point blank. That's just how I feel.
Yep. Yeah. I will tell y'all, though, all y'all pull for the Dallas Cowboys, huh?
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah.
Wags like the sorry-ass Giants, but.
Okay.
Nah, man.
Well, the if Jonathan Brooks is available at 56, Cowboys are taking him.
Yeah. That one seems
it's less like I think this happened. It's like no, they're taking it.
Yeah.
So
Jordan, who do you pull for? Are you a Cowboys? Did you not know that I'm a Giants fan, or are you just messing with me? Are you trolling on me?
I think I forgot. I'm a 49ers fan. So
That's right. I forgot. See, my bad. You and KD are the residential 49er fans. My bad.
Oh yeah. So
all right, gentlemen, I gotta roll, man. You guys have a great Thursday. We'll be paying attention to you guys. You guys have an awesome weekend too. If I don't see you, if for some reason my internet cuts out, it's we'll see, man. You never know what the hell's gonna happen here, man. It's a shit show. Y'all be good. Have a great day.
Wags. All
right. See y'all a little bit, guys.